very much for this day that you've allowed us the opportunity to wake up. And now that we're awake and now that we are realize that today is the first day of the week, we know that we want to honor you and give you glory and praise in worship this morning, whether it be in person together or on in our homes and joining with streaming services. Father, we thank you for the gifts and the opportunities that you have afforded us to be able to do these things. And as we worship you this morning, we ask that you help us to pour out our hearts, to pour out our souls, to pour out our minds in one accord, praising your name in song, gathering around the table, and studying from your word. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, and we ask that you help us to use it, not to benefit ourselves, but to glorify you, and in turn, we will be benefited. Father, we ask that you help us to continue to monitor things and walk the way Jesus would. Help us to be smart. Help us to be compassionate. Help us to be loving and acting like Jesus in all things. And we know that all things are going to work out. You have a plan, and we just want to be part of that plan. And as we join your plan this morning, we ask that you be honored and glorified this morning as we lift up your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's sing together.
We place you on the highest place, for you are the great high priest. We place you high above all else, all else. And we come to you and worship
Certainly good to be here this morning and to see those that were able to join physically, and then all of those that are watching online, it is time that we are going to partake of communion. We're going to remember the sacrifice that was made for us. Jesus went to the cross and died so that our sins may be forgiven. And at this time, we need to reflect on how we're living our lives. Are we living it according to his will? And we're thinking about his body that was nailed to the cross and the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. This time, if you will, join me in a word of prayer for the bread. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us, and we pray that each of us lives our life according to your will. As we partake of this bread, let us always remember your body that hung on the cross for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll now have a prayer for the fruit of the vine. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and we are so grateful. We know that we are all sinners and we are so thankful to have a Savior like you. We pray that as we partake of this cup, that we never forget the sacrifice that was made for us, and we strive each day to live a life like you lived your life. We pray these things to you in Jesus' name. Separate and apart from the Lord's Supper, we're also commanded to give back in which we have been blessed. We know that everything that we have comes from Christ. And everyone has been good about bringing their donations in when they're picking up their communion. You could continue to do that. Or if you're here next Sunday, you could bring it with you then. But let's have a word of prayer for the contribution. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the many gifts that you have given us and all the ways that you have blessed us. We realize we are nothing without you, and we pray that the money that we earn, we use it in a manner that is pleasing unto you, and we always give back to the church in which we have been blessed. And as the church elders and leadership take that money and use it in a way that's according to your will, we pray that this is pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll have one more song, and then after this, we'll read from God's Word. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all.
Scripture is from Romans 8:26 through 28. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
Good to see everyone this morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian? Whether you're worshiping with us here in physically or if you're watching remotely, we welcome everyone to study God's Word with us. As Mike said, later today we're going to be honoring our graduating seniors, and often seniors will pick out a special verse to them that kind of represents their life verse through their schooling years, and as they think about going on to a new vista, they pick lots of different verses. Sometimes when we go through significant circumstances, we may pick a verse of Scripture to kind of help us through. Have you picked a corona verse for going through the coronavirus? I picked one from James chapter 4 that says, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts." I thought that was kind of funny. But seriously, the verse that I picked was this one. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still and know that he is God. Just following from last week, that thread I kind of tried to weave through the sermon was having a assurance, a quiet, steady assurance that God is in control. Be still and know that God is in control, and exalt him in your life, and pray for him to be exalted. Verses of Scripture are special to us. They give us comfort and strength and encouragement. Sometimes they help us correct things in our lives. People often go to certain verses because of their significance, especially as they deal with adversity. Gateway Bible often does list of the world's favorite 10 verses or the most often picked verses in a certain time, and they also represent the 10 top verses of Americans. Guess what those verses are? Let's take a quick look. 10 through 7 here, Philippians 4:7. "For the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Proverbs 3:6, "Acknowledge God in all your ways, and he will direct your steps." Romans 12:2 is number 8. "Don't conform, be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will know God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And then Psalm 23:4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Number 6, back in Proverbs chapter 3, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways." That's verse 6 too. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Proverbs 3, verse 5. And then Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, present your request to God." And Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "For we know that God works all things together for good for those who love him and been called according to his purpose." Number 3, Philippians 4, 13, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." We see that one a lot. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, very special, powerful verse, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And if, number one, probably one of the most known by people in the world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you preach on one of these texts, it's a little intimidating because people are so familiar with those words. They've been memorized, they've been meditated on, they've been used in different circumstances. But sometimes it's important to dig in. I've often referred to the verse we're going to look at today, which is the fourth on this list. It's on most of the list. The world list is very similar, except on the world list. People from all over the world, when they look at the top 10 verses are represented, 5 of the 10 are from Psalm 23, different verses in Psalm 23. So that one has a powerful effect on people. We're going to look today at Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. This is a passage of scripture we could spend a lot of time looking at and explaining, but it puts us in the grip of a God who cares about us and who has compassion for us. The word compassion means to see a need and do something about it. It's comforting to me to think God sees me and he sees my needs and he will do something about it. He's moved to do things in my life. And I should have that assurance that God is in control and he's working in my life. This verse of scripture puts us in the grip of the sovereignty of God. God is in control. He's working in our lives. As Christians, it's important for us to remember that as we follow Jesus, there's my part, but I also have to remember there's God's part. God's asking me to do things in my life, but he's there to work and to weave and to help me as I go along through life. In Philippians chapter 4 says, he meets all our needs according to his glorious riches. There's my part, and there's God's part. Paul frames this up very well in Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 12. It talks about our part. Therefore, my dear friends, if you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What's my part? My part is to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. Take my commitment to Jesus seriously. Take my discipleship seriously. Take the commands of Jesus seriously. If Jesus says it, that settles it. And I work hard to make sure that I make Jesus the Lord of my life. And that he is Lord of all in every aspect of my life. That's my part. What about God's part? Verse 13. For it is God who works in you to will and act according in order to fulfill his good purpose. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God is at work. Providentially, sovereignly, God is at work behind the scenes. God is constantly looking into my life, into your life, and as life unfolds, we can always know, count on the fact that God is working toward his purposes. And as you think about this verse in Romans chapter 8, you have to keep God's providence and God, eternity in view, having that perspective. So this morning, let's look at four truths regarding God's compassion for us in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. God cares about you, and God cares about me, And when he sees us struggling in life, whether it's a time like this with a pandemic, whether it's a personal struggle, a relationship struggle you're going through, whether it's spiritual or physical or emotional, God cares and he is compassionate. He sees your needs and he's working things out in your life. Might not always be on our timetable, might not always be up to our expectations, but we can count on the fact that God is working, especially for us to will and to act according to his purposes. First of all, God's compassion is certain. Those first words, and we know. There's a certainty about this promise. There's some things we don't know. There's some things we do know. In verse 26, it says, when we don't know how to pray, we can know that the Spirit is interceding for us. That's comforting, isn't it? I have a prayer partner, and it's the Holy Spirit. I mean, I've had a friend I've prayed with for years. When I lived in Huntsville, we prayed every Friday together for 7 years. Now when I go back to the prisons to teach, I stop by his house and we pray together. He is a person that I've always been very fond of as far as my prayer partner. But he's not my best prayer partner. It's the Holy Spirit who can take the thoughts and struggles I'm going through and put it into words that I can't even express. I can know that when I go through difficult times. Also, we can know that all things work together for those who love God and have been called according to his purpose. We can be certain of it. There's a certainty here, an internal confidence that we should have. Paul uses this term over 32 times. It means to be in the grip of something and you have no doubt that is going to happen. We can count on God. We can know it. K-N-O-W. When I was growing up, I went to the Sunset Church of Christ as a senior in high school, and I went through the AIM program. There was a teacher there that, his name is Ed Horton. He's written books. He's trained a lot of preachers over the years. And if you ever have him in a class, he will very often say, you can know, K-N-O-W. And he would go to the board and he would write, K-N-O-W. And then he would turn his chalk to the fat side and he would outline it, K-N-O-W. And that stuff was like brazened on your mind, K-N-O-W. Well, his daughter was my age, and I asked her out on a date. I had some classes with him, and I went to pick her up, and he came in the living room, and he says, I know that you will have her home at 10 o'clock. And all of a sudden, in my mind, it's K-N-O-W. And we went to the restaurant and we looked at the menu, K-N-O-W. Right? We went to the movies, K-N-O-W. I had her home at 9:30. Because I knew he was an intimidating person. Anyway, good friend, family's fantastic people. If you've never read any of his books, rock solid on Christian evidences and things like that. K-N-O-W. Paul 32 times is going to say, K-N-O-W, you can know this, you can count on this. There's a certainty that you can know when you don't know. All this coronavirus, I don't understand everything about it, but I know one thing. God can work all things together for good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. I can have confidence in that. I can know it with certainty. Let's go on a little trip. Let's go back in the Bible and let's interview some people. Joseph, can you know that God will work all things together for good? For those who love him and called according to his purpose? Joseph, sold into slavery, seduced by Potiphar's wife, is incarcerated. And then he becomes second in command to Pharaoh. And he makes that statement, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Ask Joseph, can you know that God will work everything together? I mean, ask them all. Noah, Moses, Joshua. Then we come to Job. Everything comes crashing down. He loses his health. Then God gives him everything back. Can you know that everything will work together for good for those who love him and be called according to his purpose? Ask the Apostle Paul. Shipwrecked, beaten, mistreated, struggles with so many things. He's got sorrow and he's got joy. And he would say, and we know that in all things God works together for good for those who love him and be called according to his purpose. That's his message here. You can know it. You can be certain of it. But no greater example is in Scripture for us than the cross of Jesus Christ. Because it speaks the message. Jesus is taken. He's betrayed. Taken into custody. Unfair trial. They spat on him. They beat him. They made rods. They hit him on the head. They whipped his back till it was like hamburger meat. They punched him in the face and said, "Prophesy, who hit you?" They hung him on the cross. They nailed his body. And what do we know? God worked all that together for good for those who love him and been called according to his purpose. There's a certainty. There's a lot of things I'm uncertain about, but I'm certain of God's work. Secondly, God's compassion is complete. That all things work together. Some things? No. All things. What does that mean? All things. Everything. God covers it all. And they work together. The Greek word there is a word we get synergy from. God takes things and works them out. There's a completeness to what God does in our lives. That gives me strength. That should give us hope. That should help us as we go through struggles in life. Because he is at work and his work is complete. When I got up this morning, the sun was shining. I was just doing my geriatric jogging, you know, just rolling right around down the street. And I didn't see any clouds. And all of a sudden, it started raining on me. I'm hiding my phone so it won't get wet. It's drizzling on me. It just came out of nowhere. Sometimes when you think about God working all things together, it's as if he, like rain comes, it's random. We don't expect it. But what happens when it rains? The water will eventually build up. It will flow to some, around here, some canal. And it will get into a river or continue on the canal and be dumped out in the bay, and it will find its way to the ocean. When the water comes, it will make our grass grow like it has. Luckily, I got to mow on Friday. But it will do the things that it does, but that rain is going to eventually go to the rivers and go to the ocean. And God takes all these different things that happen in our lives and he's able to work them together for his purpose. Isn't that beautiful? God works them together for his purposes. And next week, we're just going to keep on going through this text to the end of chapter 8. So we're going to look more about his purpose a little bit next week in 29 and 30. But be in the grip of how God works things out in our lives. Go back and ask those same people. Go back and look at those same stories in Scripture. He didn't just work out some things. He worked out all things. It's complete. It's comprehensive. That's the kind of God we have. He cares so much about us that he's working. The next one is God's compassion is comforting. And we know that in all things God works for good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. God is at work for our good. What a wonderful picture of God. It doesn't mean that the things happen to us are good. No, a lot of things that happen to us are horrible. But God can work it out to where it turns out good. Remember from Wednesday night, if you tuned in, we learned a little bit about Christian math. Basic math says two fish plus five loaves equals seven things. Christian math says five loaves plus two fish times Jesus equals, when man can't, Jesus can. It equals the amazing. God does good things, and that gives us comfort. Years ago, I went to Lithuania for the first time. It was about 1998. It was the wintertime in Lithuania. It was cold. I got off the plane to guards in the airport. It was a different scene from someone who grew up here, going across the ocean. The principle was, when you get there, there's about 11 hours time difference, so go ahead and make sure you stay awake so you can get adjusted to the time. So I forced myself to stay up. I went running. It was snowing. It was cold. And I was staying in a house with a family, and I went to get in bed, and there's a quilt on the bed that's kind of like a sleeping bag, and the quilt has been stuffed with feathers, and I got in that, and it was the most comforting thing I'd ever experienced in my life. I've even bought some and brought them back. So comforting. This passage is a comforting Lithuanian quilt for a tired soul. That's the picture. What gives you comfort? He gives us comfort here. The song that we sang earlier, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Two guys actually wrote that song. One was Anthony Showalter. The other was Elisha Huffman. The story is that Showalter was teaching a music school in Alabama, and he had influenced a lot of people. He had been teaching singing all day long. He went back to the place that he was sleeping, and he had two letters from two students. Both of these students were very dear to him, and he discovered that both students had lost their wives on the same day. It broke his heart. And so he began to, this is back when people still wrote letters, that he began to pen letters to both of them to encourage them. And as he thought, how would he close these letters, he thought he would put down in the bottom Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27, which the first part of that says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he began to think about that picture of God, his everlasting arms. Can you imagine it? When I was learning how to ride a bike, I would begin to fall, and there my dad's arms would be to catch me. When I'd get too high up in the tree and I couldn't find my way down, couldn't find a place to put my foot, my dad's arms would come out and he'd say, just jump, I'll catch you. That's the picture of our God, right? In the Old Testament, it says he takes up the lambs and brings them close to him. The everlasting arms. If that doesn't give you comfort, I don't know what can. His everlasting arms. So he wrote the chorus, and he didn't know how to, and the music, but he didn't know how to finish the song. So he contacted Elisha, and he made the stanzas of that song that we sing that gives a lot of comfort to us. God works everything for the good of those who love him and been called according to his purpose. A lot of us are familiar with the term PSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome. Disorder. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got my mind messed up. We're familiar with it because a lot of people we might know have been affected by it. We've prayed about a lot of people that have gone through post-traumatic stress. And it's devastating. And it's difficult. And our hearts go out to people that deal with that. In the 1990s, Richard Tedeschi and Lawrence Calhoun were two psychologists who began to come up with the concept in psychology of PTG, post-traumatic growth. And what they discovered is when people go through traumatic circumstances, it can transform them in a way that helps them grow. They become better in relationships, in life, in things. Sometimes those situations can bring growth. Up to 50% to two-thirds of those who go through traumatic circumstances, from very, very devastating circumstances to other circumstances, find growth in those circumstances. And the key is that they have to have some kind of hope to get them through those circumstances. We've known for thousands of years from Scripture that growth comes through adversity. Romans chapter 5, it builds our character. James chapter 1, count it a pure joy when you go through trials because the testing of your faith produces patience. God can make good things happen and growth happen. And so as Christians, we need to keep, when we go through situations where we don't know, we keep our focus on the God of all hope. We let it be the anchor of our souls because we know that 5 + 2 times Jesus is amazing. But the last thing is I want us to look at is God's compassion is conditional. For we know that in all things God works together for good to those who love him, love God, and who are called according to his purpose. It's not for everybody. People in the world can't have this certainty. They can't have this completeness. They can't have this comfort. They're not going to get that kind of promise delivered from God. It's for who? Those who love God and have been called according to his purpose. It's our part. I've got to love God. It's not all just about what God does. It's about I have to love God. That means I keep his commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Those who love God, and here's God's part, who were called according to his purpose. Who were called according to the gospel, to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. God has laid out his purpose for us, and we respond to it. It's conditional. It's not for everyone. And if you're not loving God, you can't receive this promise. And if you don't live according to God's purpose, you don't get this promise. It's conditional. There's my part, and there's God's part. In life, we face a lot of circumstances that make us scratch our heads, that make us want, back at Thanksgiving, none of us were thinking that this pandemic was going to hit like it did we? Lives are going to be changed forever. Dee Dee's making pictures and a scrapbook for Ava to remember this time because it will be, when she's older, she'll look back and hopefully we don't go through a bunch of this stuff. But it's something that's powerful, and sometimes we step back and we wonder, why did this happen? Most people don't believe in God because of human suffering. They see people suffer and say, how could this be? Paul is putting us in the grip of giving us a perspective that God is sovereign and he's at work, and we need to rest ourselves in this promise, because that is what will see us through. During this time, I'm not going to the gym. I'm running at home. I'm working out with dumbbells and stability ball and resistance tubes in my living room. And so the other night, I usually will turn something on just to have some noise in the background. Nothing much was on TV. But I noticed that America's Got Talent was on. So I thought, while I'm doing this, I'll just put that on. And I was doing my workout. And Archie Williams comes to the stage. And one of the fascinating things about those shows, which I don't watch that much, sometimes I just so YouTube something that looks interesting, but I don't watch the whole thing, is the stories of people's lives, kind of like the Olympics, the stories that they tell. Archie Williams tells his story. In 1983, he was put in prison for life plus 80 years in Louisiana, in Algoa Prison, the bloodiest prison in America at the time, for a crime that later on they will find out he did not commit. The Innocence Project used DNA to find the real person who committed the crime, and he was exonerated. But he spent 37 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit. He went in when he was 22. He got out when he was close to 58. When they interviewed him, he said, freedom is of the mind. They put me in prison, but they didn't put my mind in prison. And singing is what helped him make it through that time. What a lot of people don't know, he also coached boxing. An undefeated record as a coach, teaching other inmates to box. But when he began to pursue his innocence, he stopped doing that. The warden didn't really like that. He spent most of his 37 years, 1997 on, many of those years, he spent in solitary confinement. Can you imagine? All that time, innocent, but behind bars. And we may think, that doesn't make sense. Why did that happen? As Christians, when things don't make sense, the Apostle Paul is saying, we can know that all things work together for good for those who love God and have been called according to his purpose. When I heard that story, it made me think of the first verse in Romans chapter 8, which all this kind of goes back to, which is, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. No condemnation. Prisoner, no more. Archie's story was prisoner, no more. Our spiritual story is prisoner, no more. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the question this morning. Are you in Christ Jesus? Have you become a Christian? Heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized? Are you living in Christ? Because you can become a Christian and quit living in Christ. You can fall away. You can not be faithful to God. You have to love him and live according to his purposes. If you get off that track, you are no longer a disciple of Jesus. Are you in Christ? Is that your position in life? There are people that say Jesus is Lord and they live nothing like it. Beautiful verse. Take it to heart, embrace it, and we'll continue next week with verse 29 and 30. Thanks for joining us. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, especially being such a compassionate God who cares about everything we go through in life and is at work in our lives in such an amazing way. We pray, Father, that you'll lead us and guide us as a church family, that you'll bless us as we reopen and as we move forward. We pray that you'll be with those who are affected by the coronavirus. We pray for those who are struggling with other circumstances in life right now. We pray that we will fix our eyes on Jesus and run that race with perseverance. It's in his name we pray. Amen.